Talk sports.
Hey, it's John Reed and Cody McClure. Fox Sports, Knoxville, we getting money for sure. Cause we're addicted to sports. Louis V on my shorts. Been a Tennessee Vol since I hopped off the porch. Hey, Reggie White and Allen Houston, Florida, Georgia. Keep it moving, this is Rocky Top. You ain't wearing orange, what you doing? We talking UT sports in the booth. Chris Lofton with the shot, yeah, we ready to shoot. Hey. We talking sports. Talk sports with John Reed and Cody McClure.
Hour three kicking off in the Fan Run Studios. Our hour three headlines are brought to you by our friends, the McKinney Team, with Keller Williams. Tell you about the McKinney Team every day. ZillowKnoxville.com. 865-548-8267. It's the perfect time to sell your house and buy a new one. I mean, moving would be kind of a hassle in the heat, but just pay somebody to move. The McKinney Team will help you get such a good deal on the house. You'll have money left over to pay movers. And then they'll sweat. You won't have to. It's perfect. They helped me find my home. I love it. I recommend them. Hour three headlines, Cody McClure, Collision Course, right now.
Thanks, John.
You're welcome.
Reuben Foster has torn his ACL. He was carted off the practice field just three reps into the Redskins OTA period. Pretty bad luck for Reuben Foster. Some might call it karma. Those who don't like Reuben Foster because of the domestic violence situation that may or may not have been, we don't know. There's certain ways you could look at it. But it is believed that he tore his ACL during team OTAs yesterday. He may be out for an extended period of time.
Yeah, he said he was crying as he was carted off the field.
Left with a brace on his knee. Julian Edelman has signed a two-year extension with the Patriots through 2021. The extension includes an $8 million signing bonus and $12 million guaranteed per a source. Did you know that Julian Edelman trails only Jerry Rice in career receiving yards in the postseason?
Huh. I mean, he's there every year. They play like three games a year.
Yep. He's got 1,412 career receiving yards in the postseason. Only Jerry Rice has more. Jerry Rice has a lot more. He's at 2,245. Those Jerry Rice records. Every time I see one, I'm just more and more impressed by it.
Yeah, Jerry Rice was really, really good.
Yeah. Yeah, he was.
He is the Kareem Abdul-Jabbar of the NFL.
He was something. Ezekiel Elliott, lots of good NFL headlines today. Ezekiel Elliott was handcuffed but not arrested after an argument broke out at a Las Vegas music festival over the weekend. Ezekiel Elliott appeared to use his body to push a man into a guardrail, which was knocked over as a result, and the man fell down. He was detained in handcuffs, not arrested. It was a parking lot argument at the Electric Daisy Carnival in Vegas. TMZ released a video of him arguing with his girlfriend as they walked through the parking lot. He did not put his hands on her, but later in the video, he appears to push an event staffer into a guardrail, and the man falls down. The video contains not safe for work language.
Well, we can't play it then.
So they did not detain him. Or they did detain him. What does detain mean? They didn't arrest him, but they put him in cuffs for a bit, I guess. So they did detain him.
Put him in the drunk tank, equivalent of the drunk tank, I guess.
Yeah. His attorney says the event security was overreacting to an argument between him and his girlfriend and that he did nothing wrong. Security misconstrued and overreacted to the situation. He was cuffed as a precautionary measure, released with no charges.
Such a good offseason for him so far, too.
Nothing else had happened this
offseason. Yeah, no, I mean, he was just chilling, Waiting to get paid, I guess.
He pulled down that woman's top.
That was last. That was last year.
Was that last year?
Yeah, that was St. Patrick's Day of 2018.
And then before that was a suspension. So.
Yeah, I mean, I'm saying like this season, this offseason had been pretty good for him
compared to the last.
Yeah, like last offseason was not good for him. This would have been going pretty well.
Yeah, it was going better. So this is his first incident. The Minnesota Timberwolves have made Ryan Saunders the NBA's youngest head coach. He will take over the team his late father, Flip, had coached. Ryan Saunders is 33 years old.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. His, talked about at the end of the show yesterday, his dad passed away. He had kind of gotten the Timberwolves back on track. It looked like the future was going to be good for them. He passed away. They kind of went back into tailspin a little bit. And the son was the benefactor of Tom Thibodeau getting fired last year. And the Timberwolves played pretty good under Ryan Saunders, and he's getting rewarded with a contract. So, kind of cool.
No need to go outside the Saunders family.
Now he's 33 in a really, really good job, and he can relate to the younger guys. We'll see if he can, now that the shine has worn off and now they might need some discipline and he can't just be their friend, we'll see what happens, but that's a really cool opportunity to have at 33.
The lone wolf dies, but the pack survives.
That is the law of the jungle.
Dress Barn is closing all of its stores. 650 of them.
Dress Barn?
Yeah.
What the hell is Dress Barn?
Never been in a Dress Barn?
No.
Neither have I. But they're closing all 650 of their stores. The Red Sox and the Yankees are going to face off on turf for the first time. The traditional rivalry will take a radical twist when they meet in London next month. The Yankees and Red Sox will play on artificial turf, first time in their rivalry, which covers more than 2,200 games. Major League Baseball has access to Olympic Stadium for 21 days before the games on June 29th and 30th, the sport's first regular season contests in Europe, and just 5 days after to clear out. The league concluded that there was not enough time there to install real grass, so they're playing on turf. Turf in baseball is it's interesting to me. Tennessee plays on turf. It's kind of weird looking.
I'd imagine the baseball purists aren't happy with the Yankees and Red Sox playing on turf.
Do other Major League Baseball teams play on turf? Does anybody?
I mean, like in the indoor stadium, people do. I don't know. I don't feel like anyone does, like in their actual like outdoor stadiums.
You can't play on grass.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I'd imagine the baseball purists are not happy with this.
I feel the same way about the NFL and football in general. You know, sports are meant to be played on grass, I think, except for basketball and hockey, things like that. You have to play those on different surfaces. But, you know, sports that are in a field, I think, should be played on the field.
Only two teams have artificial turf in the MLB. Tropicana Field and Toronto's Rogers Center.
Yeah, both those are the indoor dome. You know, Toronto plays inside, and so does the Tampa Bay Rays.
Yeah.
Minnesota, you know, did do that, but then they moved to an outdoor stadium.
Playing baseball indoors.
Where are the Yankees and Red Sox playing in a dome at?
London.
Okay, so they're playing in a dome in London, or is it just, I guess...
No, they're playing at Olympic Stadium.
Just a pop-up field, I guess. Okay, that makes sense. I mean...
Yeah, this is the first time, though, ever. They've played 2,200 games.
Yeah, long time.
That is a lot of games. A former skating partner of deceased figure skater John Coughlin said that he sexually abused her for 2 years. Apparently, he died. And now Bridget Namiotka is talking about his abuse. I'm sorry, but John hurt at least 10 people, including me, she said. Said that he abused her for 2 years. Nobody innocent hangs themselves. This is a dark story.
All right, good batch of headlines. Stick with us. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio. How do you feel about the anonymous coaches thing? We do this every offseason, right? pretty much in every sport where the anonymous coaches get to talk about their counterparts without putting their name on it.
I don't have any particularly strong feelings about it. I typically enjoy the quotes, but I would much rather have it be, you know who the coaches are, obviously. It's kind of fun to guess who said what, so I guess I like it.
Yeah, usually there'll be a bigger story that includes more comments, right, that you can kind of sometimes guess and choose, or, guess who was saying it.
I feel like all the negative comments that are made every year, I always assume it's Will Muschamp.
Me too.
I don't know why.
I just remember in Butch's last year, they talked about how big of a failure he had been, how big of a failure 2016 was, and how they should have been much better, and how I think they said something about how they could have coached them to more wins, and I was like, yep, definitely Will Muschamp.
You'd like to think that was Will Muschamp for sure. I'd love for coaches to come out and talk like this and attach their name to it.
Oh yeah, I mean that just make everything more fun.
That would be incredible. Just make the sport more fun, drum up a lot more interest.
On Tennessee's finish last season, one coach said, the question is, why did they finish so poorly last year? They played like crap down the stretch against Missouri and Vanderbilt. They've lost three in a row to Vanderbilt. That's unacceptable.
All right, say it again.
The question is, why did they finish so poorly last year? They played like crap down the stretch against Missouri and Vandy. They've lost three in a row to Vandy. That's unacceptable.
That's Will Muschamp. It's got to be Will Muschamp. They played like crap. I can just hear Muschamp saying crap. He says that word a lot.
Yeah.
If you watch his interviews.
I don't watch his interviews.
I don't either. But I feel like he says crap a lot. That's a Muschamp word. Played like crap down the stretch. That's Muschamp. Any other guesses?
I mean, I think he's right. I mean, I do think that's unacceptable.
Yeah. I think Muschamp is always the coach that they ask for Tennessee.
Hey, Will, you got any thoughts on Tennessee?
Oh, yeah, I'll tell you about Tennessee. You noticed I beat their ass again, right? They've never beaten me.
Can we say that's like a minimum requirement of
Will Muschamp?
Of Jeremy Pruitt this year? Like, can we, like, instead of talking about Florida and Georgia and Alabama, can we just say, hey, can Tennessee finally beat Will Muschamp? I mean, the game is going to be in Knoxville this year.
We still have not defeated Will Muschamp,
no,
have we?
No, we have not. Can we say that that is a minimum requirement for Jeremy Pruitt in year two? If Jeremy Pruitt is worth a damn, he will beat Will Muschamp. I make a motion to nominate that to our season rules. Do I have a second?
I will second that.
All in favor say aye.
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 All opposed? I do not oppose.
I think you got to beat Will.
The motion has been moved and passed.
You beat South Carolina at home in year two. You do that.
The motion has been passed that South Carolina is a must-win game for Jeremy Pruitt this year. Unless Will Muschamp has health issues and isn't on the sideline or anything like that. As long as Will Muschamp is on the sideline, it is a must-win. We've already added it, I know.
Aye.
We've already done that. It was 4-0.
A.
Not A, ah.
Nay.
No, we did not nay it. You had your chance.
Not sure I get a say, but A.
That was so cringy.
Aye.
That was so cringy.
What, Davos?
Yeah. I'm like, why the hell is he even sitting there?
Hey, he's part of the group.
We really brought Samwell Tarly back for that. We thought Samwell deserved a voice at the council.
He's the Archmaester.
We thought, he thought, how about democracy? That's so stupid.
See what Sansa said?
She was mad that people signed the petition, right?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't see what she said. I just saw that.
Your girl Sansa. She was talking about how hard D&D worked on this and how people were being disrespectful to the writers.
I think that's a true queen there, protecting her people. I love seeing it.
Your girl.
I love seeing it. She's defending her people.
She should say that the writers were disrespecting the fans.
I didn't sign the petition, so she's not disrespecting me.
Well, you've disrespected the writers plenty.
I haven't disrespected them. I just said that I did not think we did a good job.
Your queen.
I didn't sign the petition. That's the true sign of a queen. She's defending her people. I like her even more after that.
You don't hear Cersei doing that.
She's just gone quiet and hasn't talked about
it
at all.
She hasn't said anything, really.
Because she knows how much it sucks.
Yeah, You know how Amelia Clark feels about it. Best season ever.
Best season ever.
She's always smiling. Love Amelia Clark.
She has a new lease on life, man. She had those brain tumors, and yeah. She thought she was gone.
Aneurysm. She had
like the aneurysms.
Two or three,
yeah,
two or three of
she
them.
She thought, huh? She was gone. She's, yeah, happy to be here. Happy to be anywhere.
I'm happy she's here with us.
Jeremy lucked out on getting rid of Tyson Helton and hiring Jim Chaney. I think he's the best, most proven offensive coordinator in the league. I think Jim is outstanding. If Jeremy will leave him alone, Jim will be fine. Any thoughts on who said that?
Can you say it again? I'm sorry. I didn't know you were going straight into another quote. I was reading the rest of Sansa's quote.
Jeremy lucked out getting rid of Tyson Helton and hiring Jim Chaney. I think he's the best, most proven offensive coordinator in the league. Jim is outstanding. If Jeremy will leave him alone, Jim will be fine.
Kirby Smart. No. Maybe the guy from – well, that's an interesting thing to say. If Jeremy will leave him alone, mm-hmm, he'll be fine. Ben says that means it's an offensive guy. I think that's a good point. Who could that
be? Could
be
a defensive guy who knows what Jim Chaney does, though. Could be somebody who looks and, you know, has schemed against Chaney. And
it could be. I think Ben's on the right track, though. Like, an offensive guy would say that, wouldn't
he? To leave him alone?
Yeah, leave him alone, let him do his job.
Yeah, like, if I'm an offensive coordinator and, like, I've got a defensive-minded head coach, I'm like, look, just let me handle it. Like, you can do your thing. I've got it.
Or you could be a defensive coach who has seen other defensive coaches not let their guys go.
Pretty much everybody in the league now is a defensive coach.
Which is weird because...
except for Mullen and...
Moorhead.
The guy at Ole Miss, I guess.
Matt Luke.
Moorhead, as Ben pointed out. Yeah, I mean, yeah, he's an offensive guy.
Chad Morris. It's an offensive guy.
I think it's Mullen.
Could be Mullen. I'm going to go with the guy at Arkansas. Chad Morris.
Okay.
I'd like to see what the anonymous coaches are saying about the Arkansas job. Oh, yeah, he's got a
problem down
there. I'm
not reading it. I'm not reading it again. They just said, Jim's outstanding, leave him alone, and he'll be fine.
I'm just saying there could be another detail in there.
No.
I didn't hear. Like, there could
he's
be
the best, most proven offensive coordinator in the league.
The best, most proven. It'd be funny if Kirby said that.
I don't think Kirby would be at a point to talk about it yet.
I don't either.
Dooley said it.
Yeah. JT says he thinks it was Ed Orgeron. I didn't hear any Ed Orgeron in that quote. Maybe they transcribed it properly for him instead of giving it away.
He didn't sign off with the Go Tigers. I have a problem. I don't
Go Tigers. It'd be funny if they included that in his anonymous quote at the end. Go Tigers.
Go Tigers. I wonder who said it.
What else do we have?
Well, that's the only quotes I've seen.
Oh. Just two?
No, there's three. There was the one earlier about the rebuild.
No.
Like I said, there'll be more of these stories. There always are. These coaches are always willing to anonymously put stuff out there for content, and that's a popular off-season content thing, right, in terms of just generating some conversations. And here's what the coaches are saying. Here's what they think about your job.
You know, the more I think about it, I enjoy that very much. It's one of my favorite guessing games.
Yeah, I mean, it's always nice to kind of have some idea what people think.
Earlier I said I didn't have any strong feelings on it. Now I do. I love the anonymous coach's quotes.
It's a great guessing game because you can never be wrong.
It's true. And you might
and you
never
can always
be right.
Just say Will Muschamp hates Tennessee.
As he, and he does. I got a quote for you.
What?
People always have an idea in their heads of how they want a show to finish. And when it doesn't go to their liking, they start to speak up about it and rebel. Who do you think said that?
Sansa.
No. Sophie Turner.
Yeah, she's what, 20? She doesn't know anything. She's a little girl.
Unlike Cersei, a real queen.
So are you back on the side of the season being good? Like, are you...
No, I'm just reading.
So, what are you doing? Are you just trying to like?
Just reading your quote.
How much cooler would
interested to see how you take it?
How much cooler would have been if Danny had stabbed John instead of vice versa? How much cooler would that have been?
It'd been kind of weird.
It'd been cool.
Yeah, it'd be cool.
Danny would have been.
Then Danny would live. I was so ready for Danny to die.
That was a stupid show. Tell Sansa I said that.
I could try. I doubt I'd get through.
Send her something on Instagram.
My guess is that her DMs are full.
We've been, you know, kind of talking about what exactly is a rebuild for Tennessee. Like, when is the rebuild over? An anonymous SEC coach said, give it 5 years. It's going to take 5 years for Jeremy Pruitt. Obviously, we don't want to wait 5 years. That would put us, what, 2023? My God. That seems like a long time to wait. Johnny says he thinks it would be consecutively competing for the SEC each year and still being in contention in November. So he said 2 years back-to-back, Tennessee is in the SEC East race.
Being in the SEC November. East race in November seems like a good first step. Should we be in the SEC East race this November?
I mean, I think it's going to be really – like, I think we're fooling ourselves when it comes to Georgia.
You don't think Georgia's at all beatable at home?
Not, there's nothing I've seen that makes us think we're going to do it. Like,
yeah, me neither.
I mean, they just added another big-time recruiting class. I mean, they're
a lot of
their awesome recruiting class from 2 years ago are now going to be sophomores. You know what I mean? Like, they're going to be older. I don't think there's anything that makes me think Tennessee can beat Georgia. No, I'm not going to say that Tennessee should be in the SEC East race.
They have an exceptional amount of talent.
They are very talented.
They have a lot of players that are good. Their roster may be as good as Alabama's.
Yeah, no, I mean, whenever, like I said, you point out that historically good class they had 2 years ago are now going to be sophomores and not freshmen. Granted, they did have some attrition. Like, they did have some people leave and go pro and, you know, of the such, but still.
Yeah, still. Still pretty good.
Yeah, so no, I don't think it's fair to think that Tennessee should be in the race in November. I mean, if you think about Tennessee coming into November, like, historically they're always, they're especially this year too, like, they're going to have played Georgia, Florida, and Alabama. You know what I mean?
I'd like for this November to not be depressing.
Now, is it 2 year? Is it next year where Tennessee and Georgia get moved, or I guess Georgia and Missouri get moved?
Yes, that begins in 2020. That'll be interesting.
Then you could have a chance to be in the race in November with the big game against Georgia. You know what I mean? Like, where, you know, if you win that, you have the tiebreaker. That could be a thing.
I am glad they're doing that, you know, breaking it up a little bit from having October be so brutal and always seeming to have Florida, Georgia, and Alabama right in a 3 to 5 week stretch in some way.
With the second best West team mixed in there as well, typically.
Yeah.
Cowboy says he's always said there is no East title, only an SEC title, that winning the East doesn't really matter. But at this point, if the man gets to Atlanta, they can name a road after him. So I think they're saying that would signify that things are built.
I think we've been forced to lower the bar a little bit.
I think it's just called reality, man. Like, I don't think it's being forced to lower the bar. I think it's just being realistic.
I think reality has forced us to lower our bar.
I don't think we're lowering the bar to try to, like, help him be successful. I think we're just kind of I think a lot of people have been smacked in the face with reality and kind of realized, hey, we just need a crumb of success, please. Can we get a little slither of success?
Can we get something?
Just anything.
Just perhaps a slice of bread?
Twitter writes in, back-to-back 10-plus win seasons. He's talking about 10 regular seasons. Man, like, if we're waiting for back-to-back 10-win seasons, like, 5 years might not be long enough. Like, am I overstating that? Like, I can't even fathom the idea of back-to-back 10-win seasons. Like, I don't see that happening, especially if we're just talking about regular seasons. That's giving you two losses per year.
What teams do that?
Not very many. Not very many that have to play Georgia and Alabama every year either. I hate these exercises. Stick with us. This is Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.
WKGN, the station where the Ice Bears used to play.
heard the promo, May 28th, next Tuesday. A lot of shuffling going on at the station. The Tuesday after Memorial Day, Cody, Ben, intern Cam, myself, we will be moving to noon. We will be going from 12 to 3. If you're listening right now, that would be you'd be listening to our first hour.
We just started.
Which I don't know if Cody will still be groggy when we start at noon in the first hour. We'll see. We'll find out. Along with hour changes, Trey Wallace will be joining the drive. He'll be going there to become another co-host, I guess. Another co-host with the drive.
I suppose, yes.
I don't know what I'm supposed to phrase that as. Yeah, I mean, he'll be the co-host.
Along with Bear.
And obviously Russell. Gumby will be doing his thing.
Who?
Gumby.
Who's Gumby?
You're unfamiliar with Gumby?
Yeah.
You don't know who Gumby is?
Yes. But who is that?
I don't know, the big, tall, skinny guy on the drive.
Oh, Russell. So, and then who's going to be their other members?
Well, they have stolen. You missed Parker's last day yesterday.
Oh, well. It's good knowing you, Parker, if you're listening.
Yeah, you missed Parker's last day. And then from 10 to 12, the Blitz will fire up here. It'll be Brandon Orrick, Rick Butler, Chance Collins.
Get blitzed!
They will get blitzed.
That's going to be a real football-heavy show.
We'll see. I'm excited.
What are they doing? They're putting one man in the box and sending the house, or what? How's that work?
Putting an extra man in the box.
Man in the box.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. If you have one man in the box, you're going to be in trouble.
Yeah.
They're going to run all over you.
You're not really getting the job done on the blitz if you are just have one man on the pass rush.
You're going to blitz 10 and drop one into coverage. Just see what happens. It's like a punt block.
I think it'd be the opposite. I think they'd be dropping 10 into coverage and blitzing one if they only have one in the box.
Well, yeah, if you
so
you could reverse it either way.
Yeah.
Sometimes on the old NCAA game in a goal line situation, I'd run punt block. And you'd have a better chance of getting a guy in there to defend against a quarterback sneak. It's an old trick of the trade. So the blitz.
No one ever realized, hey, I could just throw it, just pass it.
Sometimes.
Okay.
I mean, but when they're on the 1 yard line, you got to do what you can do.
Sure.
If they can't get it off quick enough, sometimes you can get a sack. I mean, chances are on the 1 yard line, they're going to score. So you do what you can.
Okay.
I'm pretty good at the game. Just trust me.
All right. So, yeah, the blitz from 10 to 12.
Get blitzed!
I don't think it's get blitzed. It's just the blitz.
I'm coining that as their catchphrase. And I think they should all come in wearing football helmets. Just full uniforms.
Okay.
It's a real sporty show.
Okay.
The Blitz.
All right. I'll pass that along to them and let them know that you think they should wear full football uniforms.
We'll see if they go with my suggestion.
Maybe. You never know.
I wonder what it's going to be like with them getting out of here. I hope they're quicker than Houston.
Yeah, and there are going to be three of them that plus an extra guy. So I don't know if that'll change anything. The seating arrangement is going to change in here somehow.
Brandon told me that they're all going to sit at this end of the table.
There's no way they're all sitting at this end of the table.
That's what he said.
If you're watching on Periscope, you obviously see there is not room for three people here.
There's room for another man here,
no.
but not his computer.
Yeah, like he would have nothing.
Maybe just a notepad.
I think you guys are underestimating how skinny Rick is.
Okay.
Yeah,
Rick's a small dude.
He's a small guy.
Okay, like that's a fair rebuttal, but I think you're underestimating the size of a computer and just how little space is here. Like you can't.
Oh, you could fit my Chromebook in there. Probably have a nicer.
I guess maybe if you slide the mics
and a
little
mic behind it. It's going to be tight though.
That would be the. And plus, there's this middle right here under the chair, here.
Put your knees on it.
There's no way that's what they're doing.
That's what Brandon said. He could be wrong.
I don't think Brandon actually knows what Brandon's talking about.
Maybe they're just going to bring the circle table in from the office out here.
I don't think
for a couple hours.
I don't think that's going to happen, Ben.
No, I don't think it'll fit.
That seems like a terrible idea.
Just like trade these out real quick.
I just no. I don't think that's happening.
I feel like there's less space now than there was when we were half this size.
I don't. I disagree with that. I feel like there's a lot more space here.
I mean, there is, but it's like it's harder to get around, you know?
Sure.
I mean, I'm not complaining. I love the setup, but it's harder to – it's kind of, you know, it's tough when you have a lot of items and chairs in the way.
I guess John does still have to move out of the way every time you want to leave the room.
He does.
But now I'm able to roll out of the way.
Not just actually leave the entire studio.
I mean, even when I just got up and stood up, like, he still had to get around my chair, so it was still a hassle. There's way more room now. I don't know what he's talking about.
If the door's open to the outside, I think that would help. Again, I'm not complaining. I'm just, you know, just saying.
I mean, really, I think you should probably sit on this side because you're the one always getting up and leaving.
I'd say we get up the same amount of times. You just notice me more because you have to move.
Okay. That might be accurate, actually. I do get up and wander around a lot.
Yeah. I'd say on average I get up maybe twice a show.
That is.
You think it's more?
Yeah.
Today it's only been once. The end of hour one.
Yeah.
I'd say you typically average leaving once or twice an hour.
You go at least get your coffee at least once a day.
I'm going to say I average twice a show.
These latest NBA mock drafts have not been kind to Grant Williams. I did not necessarily think that he would hurt his stock with his performance in the combine, but if you believe these mock drafts coming out of the combine, which I don't know the mix between talking to people, talking to executives, talking to scouts, and getting updates versus people just trying to fill out mock drafts with their, you know, with their own kind of tests and measurements themselves. But Sports Illustrated put out their new mock draft yesterday following the combine. Grant Williams went from a top 25 pick to all the way down to a 38th.
Whoa.
Yeah. To the Chicago Bulls at 38.
What happened to him being a top 15 pick?
Yeah, well, I mean, he did not shoot well at the combine.
Mm.
He was 2-for-13 in his two scrimmages.
Ah.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Now, we'll see what happens, because like I said, I don't think Grant Williams makes the announcement that he's staying in school unless he had some good, strong inclinations that he was going to be a top, you know, first-round pick. But just coming out of this, we've seen some guys jump him that are kind of coming out of nowhere. Or not out of nowhere, but have risen past him. Like, Naz Reid tested well at the combine. He's all the way up to, like, 36. The guy from Belmont, he's risen, I guess. He's past Admiral, because Admiral's all the way down at 44. Now, the good news would be for Jordan Bone. Jordan Bone's up to 59th. Jordan Bone showed up in the Sports Illustrated mock draft, so his athleticism did kind of help him become a top 60 pick. Now, you know, granted, there's not much wiggle room there between being projected 59th and only 60 picks being in the draft, but the other two guys, Admiral and Grant, I guess didn't do themselves many favors at the combine. I didn't think 2 days of poor shooting would sink him that way, but Sports Illustrated thinks so, and CBS, who has been pretty kind to Grant for most of these projections, right? CBS has been fairly kind. I want to say this guy had Kyle, excuse me, the guy's name is Kyle. He is Kyle Boone. I want to say that he had Grant Williams around like 14 last time he put this out, and now he has him down at 25th. So still a first-round pick, according to CBS, but 25th. A lot lower than he was pre-combine.
I wonder if him making his announcement had anything to do with it.
You mean like made him go lower?
Yeah.
Well, that wouldn't make sense, would it?
I mean, like if teams were like, yeah, well, he's we can get him somewhere. I mean, if like the logic is like,
okay,
hey, he's not going back to college, so he'll drop. We can get him somewhere. I mean,
okay.
You know, I don't know.
So you're looking at, hey, let's tell him we have him higher. That way he'll come out.
Yeah.
That way there'll be more good players in the draft and undrafted, and then we'll just take him, whenever we can get him.
Get him on the bargain.
Okay.
I don't know. It's probably not.
I mean, I don't know. That seems like a really terrible thing to do, but it's possible.
It's all about the money. Got to make it fit. Where do you think he'll go? If you had to say now, I mean, what do you think's most likely? Where's he at in your mock draft?
Man, like coming out, you know, I really thought whenever he made his announcement, I was convinced that he would not fall. I thought he would go higher after the combine because of how smart he is, how well he interviews. I didn't think he'd get past Boston at 14.
Really?
But it turns out that it seems like Boston is now getting kind of projected to take P.J. Washington, who is a similar type of player as Grant. But maybe, well, maybe with a higher upside.
I wonder why he shot so poorly.
I mean, I don't know. Just, I mean,
some days you shoot poorly.
Yeah, some days you just shoot poorly. Some days it just be like that, you know?
Yeah. Some days it do.
Bleacher Report didn't have Grant in the first round either.
What emoji told you that?
That's a good one. Last call on the other side is Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Last call is brought to you by our friends Volunteer Vodka. I tell you about Volunteer Vodka every day. You know by now it's made with 9 GMO corn, red grapes. It's smooth. I love drinking it. You'll like drinking it too if you try it. Stop by your local package store, pick you up a bottle of the award-winning Volunteer Vodka. Pump the brakes or keep rolling. Cody Mack, would you like to go first or second?
Second.
How about you go first since you didn't do any yesterday? As I did the whole entire show by myself.
I mean, you had been here. And Parker, apparently, who's no longer on the show. Rest in peace. 10 feet long and 500 pounds detected in Long Island. Can you guess what it is?
A snake.
10 feet long and 500 pounds?
A hog.
It'd be a hell of a snake.
A hog.
A hog?
Yeah.
Now, what hog have you ever seen that was 10 feet long?
Well, what is it then?
And 500 pounds. A great white shark. They're calling him Jaws, spotted coming for New York. Now, that's a feature film right there. Forget Godzilla. Let's remake Jaws taking over New York. And Jaws would have to be able to get out of the water somehow, but, you know. It's a good lead-in. Nearly 10 feet long, the great white shark was detected in Long Island Sound, according to reports. The shark, who they've named Cabot, was spotted, that's not as cool as Jaws, off the coast of Greenwich, Connecticut, Monday morning. An organization that electronically tracks ocean life found him. The sound is cleaner and healthier than it's been in so many years, they said. So we're going to start seeing occasional large apex predators like these sharks. Well, that's disappointing if you like swimming in Long Island Sound. Also, humpback whales, apparently new to the area. So they've cleaned it up, I guess, and you know more marine life is coming in. And anyway, this is a massive shark they spotted there.
That's a really big shark.
Headed for New York, yeah.
This might just be some marketing, some viral marketing. Is there a new Sharknado coming out or something? Is there a new
Shark Week's not until August, right?
Gotta get started early.
Yeah, I suppose.
ESPN president makes a statement that many people will say no duh to.
Yep.
ESPN president Jimmy Pitaro says that people do not want ESPN to cover politics in their sport, in their coverage.
Yeah, that seems to be true. I think a lot of people really hate it.
Mm-hmm. Without question, our data tells us our fans do not want us to cover politics.
The worldwide leader of politics doesn't really sound like the right way to go. They've always been the worldwide leader in sports.
Patero has satisfied ESPN's more traditional fans by steering commentators away from political discussions on air and on social media. Without question, our data tells us our fans do not want us to cover politics. My job is to provide clarity. I really believe that some of our talent was confused on what was expected of them. If you fast forward to today, I don't believe they are confused.
Well, I guess making a very obvious statement is a sign of providing clarity. He's being absolutely clear in his statement.
Well, I mean, I think everyone, you know, I do think that we saw that, you know, ESPN was really confused on what people wanted, so I don't think it's an obvious statement.
Australians are kissing cows, and it's become a problem in the country.
Yeah, no, I don't want to.
No, senor!
Do you just feel compelled to roll? It's a really good story.
You said they were kissing cows.
Yeah, it's a really good
story.
That's
gross. Have you ever looked at a cow's face?
I have.
Have you ever been up close and personal?
And they're tongue-kissing them, which is making
it.
They're
doing what now?
They're tongue-kissing them, which is
making. Respect the game.
Now, see, you knew that was coming.
Have you ever felt a cow's tongue before?
Smelled one?
No, felt one. Or smelled one, but felt them.
No, but I imagine it's gross.
It's very rough and rigid.
Like
tongue kissing a cow seems.
Respect.
No fun.
The game.
Well, we're not talking about the story.
You're talking about aspects of the story.
We're talking about.
I'm talking about a cow's tongue that I have felt before on my own. Not kissing
what?
Them. No, I felt a cow's tongue before.
On your tongue?
No.
You said on my own.
With my hand. I've had my hand inside of a cow's mouth before many times.
When you said on my own, it implied your own tongue, because tongue was the original
subject.
Oh,
you think I'm out here making out with cows?
I don't know. The Australians are.
Respect the game. You got another story?
Eiffel Tower evacuated.
I had to think about it.
Should have stopped on the cows. A man was trying to climb it in Paris, as opposed to in Berlin, because the Eiffel Tower is located in Paris. The man entered the tower normally, started to climb. Once he was on the second floor, he was trying to get to the top of the tower. You think the Eiffel Tower is overrated? It seems like one of those things that if you saw it, it would not be all that cool. You think I'm off on that? Or is it's one of those?
I think being in France would be a part of the pill of it. Amelia Clark comments on what she did when she read the finale. Oh, we had a tone.
I'd really like to know.
She said that she read it, went for a long walk, wandered the streets of London in a stupor, trying to process the shocking fate of her character and whether she had the strength to play it. She called her mom. Said her she needed her mom to talk her off the ledge.
Seems a little dramatic.
Because like this was, I knew this was going to be terrible.
Is that what she said?
Basically, I was like, I hate these guys. They ruined my life.
I think you said that.
All right, good job by you guys today, Cody. Nice to have you back. Good job by you, Ben. Great addition of Turn Left Cam. Way to run that Periscope. Click the button sometimes. It's optional. Is up next.